This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Ken McNeely, who's the president of AT&T California. Welcome to Utopia Media's California Politics Today.
Thanks, Mark.
Before we start, I sort of wanted to trace the lineage of the company you're working for now and the company that I've been getting phone service from for a long time. Tell me if I've got it right. Until the early 80s, it was AT&T. It became Pacific Bell, Pacific Telesis, SBC. Now it's AT&T California. Did I get everybody?
Yes, that's it. It's been a storied history, and with some changes in regulation and technology, the parent company is now known as the new AT&T.
Okay, well, that exactly traces what I wanted to ask you next, and that's how the regulatory, technological, and business spaces have changed in the last 20 years, and what that implies for competition in the telecom space.
Well, Mark, there's been tremendous change in both technology and the regulatory framework over the years, which has in fact led to the consolidation in the industry that you see now as technologies converge. Because what you're seeing now is real technological competition between two companies or two industries that most consumers would not have guessed would have been competitors 10 years ago.
Let me just get your take on the historical question. If AT&T hadn't been broken up in the early 80s, do you think we'd be where we are now?
I think had AT&T not been broken up, we probably would not have had the technological advances that we now all enjoy as consumers and take for granted. For instance, cell phone service and the almost ubiquitous nature that you find of cell service. I think by AT&T being broken into competitive pieces, back in the early 80s, allowed these different technologies to really flourish, and I think that because of that, today quite a number of folks actually receive or use their wireless phone as their primary communications means, and certainly that was unthinkable just 15 years ago.
Okay, let's talk about why AT&T California wants to offer video. How does it fit into your business plan?
Oh, it's very simple, Mark, and that is, the video companies, the cable companies, have been allowed to compete in the telephone space for a number of years now, actually since 1996.
How are they doing?
I'm sorry?
How are they doing in that
competition?
Actually,
they're doing quite well. And in fact, in some markets, particularly some markets in California, the cable companies have taken sizable, if not majority, shares of that market.
And this is using VoIP or voice over IP.
Well, in some instances, it's using switch technology, and increasingly, it's using voice over IP.
Okay.
Certainly, as they continue to upgrade their networks, voice over IP certainly will gain in penetration. But what you're seeing is companies competing to be the communications and entertainment outlet for the consumer. And with cable upgrading their plant, they're able to provide a consumer a bundle of services that includes not only video services, but also increasingly broadband services and cable telephony.
Does your market research tell you that people want to get all of their telecommunications services from a single provider, or that they want to mix and match?
Well, I think it depends on the consumer. But I think what my company would like to do is to be able to offer those services to any consumer, whether or not they want to choose just our telephone product or our video product or our broadband product or all together if they'd like.
Okay.
And I think what we're seeing is, certainly the research supports this, is that consumers want choice. The consumers want to be able to have some competitive alternatives for each of those services. And I think that what we're seeing is that, at least with respect to the video product, until recently there has been no other alternative available for the consumer. So we're excited about being able to add the video product to our mix.
Okay, tell us what Project Lightspeed is and how that fits into what you've just been talking about.
Sure, Project Lightspeed is a significant capital commitment that AT&T has made, and throughout our 13-state local phone region, and what it's intended to do, Mark, is to really push fiber, our fiber network, closer to our customers' home, allowing far greater bandwidth. You know, we started our deployment of DSL five or six years ago, and that DSL project, Project Pronto, really allowed us to move fiber closer to the customer and provide a greater bandwidth, allowing us to deliver our DSL product to California consumers. Project Lightspeed, it's taking that a step further by further extending the fiber deeper into the neighborhood to the node so that we're able to provide even increased bandwidth, allowing for such alternatives as a video product.
Now, does Project Lightspeed involve video to the node, or fiber to the node, or fiber to the premises, or a combination?
It's a combination of both. Certainly, where we have existing homes, which of course would be a large swath of our service territory, we're doing fiber to the node. To try to get to as many homes, existing homes in neighborhoods as we can,
and the final few yards is done by coaxial cable,
by copper cable,
right?
By copper lines, actually,
or twisted pairs.
The line to your home, the last loop will remain the same, and then with fiber to the node. Where we do have new construction, of course, we'll be able to deliver that fiber all the way to the home.
Okay. How does what AT&T is doing with Project Lightspeed compare with what Verizon is doing with Fios in terms of the technology and the rollout?
Sure. I don't know all the specifics about the Verizon product. I know that they, too, see the benefits of being able to deliver to their customers a video alternative. And as best I understand it, they are looking at a fiber to the premises technology, and I do not know much more than that.
Okay, one of the reasons I mentioned Verizon was to ask you, as we move into the discussion of franchising, how, if at all, the AT&T perspective on the need for franchising arrangements differs from Verizon, and whether you're pursuing different strategies or the same strategy.
Well, you know, I think the end result is the same. I know that both AT&T and Verizon see a benefit of speed to market. We see a demand. Our customers want a video alternative. We're able to provide that technologically, and so the question is getting that product to our customers.
Okay, let me ask you that. What is your position on the need for franchising for video services at the municipal, state, and federal level?
Well, I think absolutely we need some type of franchise reform. The video franchising process that's in place today is some 40 years old, and I mean, can you imagine the technology that exists today versus the technology of 40 years ago? 40 years ago, when these rules were implemented, we were all dealing with essentially one cable company using coaxial cable for essentially a video feed, a one-way video feed to your home. Look at our expectations today, where we look for interactive communications, interactive video, where we are both sending and receiving data.
So essentially, what you're saying is that the technology has evolved, and the regulatory framework needs to evolve as well.
Oh, absolutely, that's what I'm saying. And given the new technologies today, given our ability to be able to upgrade this plant to get additional video offerings out there, even if we, AT&T, were to negotiate a franchise agreement a week in the state of California, it would take us over 7 years to be able to provide full services to our customers.
Yeah, so well, no, I've read elsewhere where you said that AT&T is a big company. Couldn't you negotiate agreements simultaneously with many cities?
Oh well, we are indeed, but this is not a resource issue. I mean, certainly, if we felt that by providing additional financial and people resources to the issue, that we would succeed, we would do that. We are doing that. We are negotiating with multiple municipalities today. But even that, these negotiations. Remember, franchise regulatory structure was put in place essentially for a monopoly provider. You had one provider coming in negotiating with a municipal regulatory body. Oftentimes today, I mean, you know, you can look to some of the cities in California where the franchise has expired 5 and 10 years ago, and the city's still in negotiations with the incumbent video provider over terms and conditions.
So is the question that municipalities are just slow in negotiating, or is the question that the franchise requirements of a 5% fee, public access, public government access channels, and INETs are too onerous for AT&T? Are you happy to meet those requirements and it's just a bureaucratic issue, or do you feel that those are restraining competition?
Well, certainly the substantive issues that you've articulated, AT&T is certainly clearly agreeable to provide those conditions to municipalities, and in fact that those are included in our essential principles of what we believe the franchising system should be.
So people who live in municipalities which get 5% franchising fees now, and which have public access programs and have INETs, needn't fear that under a state or federal franchising plan, they're going to lose those privileges or rights or revenue streams that they now have.
Absolutely not. Certainly not as anticipated by AT&T.
Okay.
And indeed, I would say that many municipalities, in fact, most municipalities will gain as a result of this kind of competitive alternative. And the reason, Mark, that they would gain is that, you know, under the existing structure now, the incumbent cable provider, yes, does in fact pay a 5% franchise fee to each municipality. But the only video alternative that exists to consumers now in California is a satellite alternative. And a satellite alternative one requires a substantial capital outlay from the consumer at the beginning of their term. And it also, the satellite providers do not pay franchise fees to the to municipalities, to the city.
Okay, let's talk specifically about what AT&T is looking for in Sacramento, what Speaker Nunez is doing, and what kind of legislation you're trying to get in Sacramento.
Well, we're hoping with the speaker's support and the support of leaders in the assembly, that we'd see soon a statewide franchising authority be passed into law.
And so, what are the elements in that kind of plan? Would you like a new bureaucracy that would handle the franchising at the state level, or what exactly do you want to find?
Sure, I'm not sure a new bureaucracy is necessary as much as the strategic use of an existing governmental statewide agency.
Is there some agency in particular that you think would charge of this?
Certainly the Bureau of Corporations or agencies within the Secretary of State's office that have statewide jurisdiction, particularly with respect to business operations throughout the state.
Do you see any role for the Public Utilities Commission in this?
Well, I know that much of the services, much of the services with respect to video offerings are outside the scope of the PUC. Though I suspect that over time that certainly if the state or federal regulators saw fit to delegate jurisdiction to that, they could be an appropriate body.
What do you see as the timetable for what you're trying to get in Sacramento?
Well, I'm very hopeful that legislators will listen to their constituencies and consumers throughout the state of California and give them a choice in their video product sooner rather than later. I'm very hopeful that the leaders will see the need to pass such legislation this year.
Okay, what kind of reactions have you been getting from cities individually or the California League of Cities, for example?
Well, let's talk about the cities individually. I mean, I think, and it's been wide ranging. I mean, I think there's certainly cities that have been that certainly have embraced the thought of video competition for the first time, and we have cities like the city of Anaheim in Southern California that have said, "Look, you know, we want you to be here. We want you to build." And we've reached an agreement with the city of Anaheim. We've reached an agreement with the city of San Ramon. And there are other cities throughout the state that are saying, look, we want this investment. We want video competition.
How about the largest?
We're building in cities like East Palo Alto. We're building in San Francisco. We're building in Los Angeles.
Have the franchising authorities or the city governments in San Diego, Los Angeles, San Jose gone on record saying they like what you're doing, don't like what you're doing?
Some of those cities have taken a cautious approach. Some of the cities are saying, look, we want video choice. We want capital investment. Come in, build your network, and we'll continue to talk to you about what this means, because this is different. This is different. These municipalities aren't used to having an alternative provider coming in saying, we want to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in your community and provide a video alternative. And look, by the way, we're willing to provide you these other things, and our product is very different. And so there is a initial reaction to say, well, you know, we do have these cable franchises, and is it sort of like this, or is it not like this, or what? And so that's exactly why there needs to be some guidance from regulators, from lawmakers, understanding that this is something different, and this is something unique for customers.
Would you envision the franchise fees being paid to a state agency and then being distributed to the cities, or going directly to the cities?
I could see it work either way. I think in most instances it's in other states it's been collected by the state and distributed to the municipality.
Okay, would you see that AT&T would need to build public access facilities, new ones in all of the cities that it serves, or that would it provide a certain amount of money to the cable companies to expand or maintain the public access facilities that they now operate?
Well, I mean, you could look at that in a number of ways, and certainly if cities have public access capabilities, we certainly want to certainly contribute in any way we can to ensure that that continues. And that will be determined either by the needs of that particular municipality, but in every aspect, we would intend on making that city whole.
Okay, I'd like you to briefly address three issues that critics of your approach have leveled, and get your response for each of them. The first is redlining, the building out of a system only to lucrative high income neighborhoods where you'll have lots of business, and ignore or neglecting areas that are of lower income. What's your position and practice on that?
Well, first, let me say I'm personally offended by these claims. We've heard these claims, and they certainly appear to come from competitors desperate to finally see their customers have a choice. And my response to that is one need only look at the deployment of our last advanced technology, DSL, and see how significant that penetration has been throughout all of California. I mean, our penetration rates now are upwards to 85-88%, and our initial deployment of DSL was in Compton in Los Angeles, and we would expect to have similar penetration and deployment of this product like that. So
okay.
I think that this this redlining argument is a red herring from our cable competitors.
Okay. Make the case for how the entrance into this market of AT&T would reduce prices to customers.
Oh, again, that's an easy one. One need only look to the competition in wireless or other products. At this point, we are new entrants. We would be entering a market where nearly 80% plus of the market is controlled by a single player. And we know that we can only gain market share by having a better product, better service, at a better cost.
Do you imagine there'd be something along the lines of a price war here then?
Well, I mean, wouldn't that be great for consumers?
Well,
certainly where we've seen cable competition in other states, we've seen prices decrease between 20% and 40%.
So, okay. On the other hand, is it possible that after you're in place and have a significant market share, that a duopoly situation might exist in which prices wouldn't be going down anymore? Or do you think that the competition would continue?
Well, absolutely, I think competition will continue. I mean, you will have in most markets three competitors out there using different technologies, providing a different product and services to consumers, with the incumbent video provider, satellite provider, and now IPTV. And it's a richer array of services available for the consumer. Each of these companies battling out for the hearts and for the hearts of all the consumers in the service area. So I think this is going to be a wonderful thing for consumers, and will certainly result in better products, new technology, and lower prices.
Before I ask you to comment on the third objection, say something about content acquisition and what kind of deals you've already made and what you envision in terms of making content deals with studios, television networks, and other content providers.
Well, we certainly, you know...
Will people be getting this? Is there going to be anything new, or are you going to be just duplicating the content that the cable companies already have?
Well, you know, we're certainly in discussions and present ongoing negotiations with content providers, so I can't disclose any of those terms or conditions.
Right.
But we certainly are looking to providing a new and better experience, Mark, to the consumers in California. We're looking for a much more interactive experience that we're able to provide by virtue of the IP nature of the product. So we are looking at certainly engaging, a much more engaging relationship where a consumer can utilize their telephone, their wireline, their wireless, and their video in their home together, outside and inside their home.
This is what used to be called convergence, isn't it?
Well, certainly, we certainly see that your communications technology has converged, is converging, and that I think, you know, the ability of these different products to communicate with each other. I mean, wouldn't we all like to be able to program our DVR from a restaurant to record an evening performance of American Idol from our cell phone from a restaurant?
Okay.
I mean, these are the kinds of things that would be available to consumers using the IP technology.
Let me raise one final a complaint that some people have about the situation. It comes under the rubric of net neutrality, and the argument goes that the phone company and the cable company will, and having grown in part because of content offered by websites and web services such as Google, will want to charge money to the providers of these services and thereby create a multi-tiered internet that will privilege some content providers and put others at a disadvantage. What's your philosophical view on that, and what are your practical plans in terms of implementing or not implementing net neutrality through these networks?
Yeah, I'll hit the latter first, and I'm not aware of any plans from any business as usual strategy that we have. We continue to see the internet and as an open forum. Continue to do business in that manner.
Well, Mr. Whitaker, president of when it was SBC, said he'd be nuts to let his pipes be used for free. Has he changed his mind?
Well, I know no plans to, but it's business as usual, open internet for all.
So people wouldn't need to expect that Google services would have to be Google would have to pay you for access to its customers.
Yeah, again, I know of no plans.
Okay. Wrap up by telling us about the plans on the technical and the political side now in the next few months from AT&T California.
Well, you know, I'm hopeful again that the legislative leadership will understand the need for this kind of legislation that will see some language a language that will spur the growth of this new technology and encourage investment in the state and that California not fall behind some of the other cities or rather states across the country who are doing the same thing and competing for technology dollars. And we certainly would love to see California be at the forefront of it.
And again, reiterate what you see as the benefits for consumers and what consumers could do to help you help them get better service.
Well, you know, I think that certainly consumers are telling us already, and I think they're telling their elected officials as well that they're tired of having only one choice in their video provider, and whatever that can be done to spur the investment and deployment of new technologies to give them video choice, they certainly want.
If everything goes,
we certainly hope that they'll contact their legislators and let them know that they're tired of not having a choice, that they want new technologies at lower rates.
California
shouldn't fall behind.
If everything goes optimally, when do you expect that these services might be available to people in the major cities in California?
Well, I think not just major cities. We'd love to be able to bring this service to as many people as we can throughout the state of California. And our hope is if we start, we're starting to condition our networks. And the question is one of how soon can we get it? Certainly, if legislation were to pass and there were, we then have a centralized franchising authority. Certainly, a far greater number of Californians will gain the benefit sooner rather than later.
Finally, do you see any possibilities, or are you working to increase the likelihood that the crushing transportation problems that Californians have in the main cities might be in some way alleviated through a quantum leap in the number of people telecommuting and using the networks that you're building to work from home, to do business in ways that wouldn't require them to sit in traffic so much of the time?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. AT&T has always been a leader in teleworking. And in fact, I'm giving this interview today, sitting in my home office.
I'm conducting it sitting in my home office.
So. Well, and I hope you're using AT&T services to do that.
I certainly am.
I certainly do believe that with advances in technology, greater bandwidth to our customers, giving them a host of data solutions will certainly encourage employers to allow their workers to work from home, and I think that we'll see increased productivity as a result of it. So I think it's a very good thing for at least one solution to our congested roads in the state of California.
Okay, good. Thanks very much for talking to us today on California Politics Today.
Mark, my pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.